bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach you here this evening, Lord. We're asking, Lord, for you to come and open your word to us, Lord, to be encouraging and strengthening and helping and giving us direction. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and I want to continue on ministering on Catch the Vision. Brother Branham says, and just one more time, Lord, said, may man and woman tonight catch the vision, understand what God's program is for this last day. That's all we need to do is just get into his program. Then other things will take care for themselves. Amen. We had read a scripture out of Proverbs last Thursday's 29:18, where it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But tonight I want to read out of Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You may be seated. When the disciples were tarrying in the upper room, is when they came up with the idea that they had to get someone to replace Judas. And they had to come up with a way how they were going to select the person to replace Judas. Now, this is kind of strange to me that here they are tarrying to be endued with power from on high. No doubt they had been in prayer, but when it comes to choosing one to replace Judas, they decide, let's draw lots. Instead of inquiring of the Lord. And they did this without having any direction from the Lord. And there was no vision that was given that who was to replace Judas. So they cast lots and they chose Matthias. And Brother Branham said, from that time, he said, the scripture must be fulfilled, let another take his bishopric, talking of Judas, and said, let's choose one that's been among us. And they had two fine, cultured, good men, just as religious as they could be to the key, but that were good reputation, and they cast their lots and chose Matthias. So he said they had two there. They were both, would have seemed to have been fine candidates, but they decided they'd cast lots in order to be able to choose between them. I would hate to think that a church would pick a pastor out that way. I would hate to think that we would pick anybody in the church to fulfill anything by casting lots. But the point I want to make here is they did it without any vision. They had no directive from the Lord. And Brother Branham says they chose Matthias. And in Hebrews chapter 3, he preached. He said they chose by casting lots Matthias. And whenever they chose him, put him in with the 11, which made up the 12. He did not do one thing. That's the only time his name's ever mentioned in the scriptures. He said that was the church making its choice. He said they thought he's a gentleman, no doubt. He's a wonderful man. He's a scholar. He's smart. He's educated. He's wonderful. person, he would take the place of Judas and be one of us. But you know, God sometimes makes, to our opinion, some of the most foolish choices. God sent a little hook-nosed Jew, just as full of temper as he could be, with his mouth setting sideways. I'll go down and arrest every one of them. I'll throw them all in jail. I'll do this. That was God's choice. The rest of them taking a scholar and diplomat, that's the church's choice. See, you don't know who that is at the altar. You don't know who that is. You're testifying in jail or wherever it is. It might look like a pugilist with his ears broke down, eyes skinned up, but you know, you don't know who that is. You just give him the word. God makes the choice. And God chose this high-tempered Jew on his road down. I'm going down and get them, and I'll show them what I can do, like that. And God just knocked him down and said, that's my choice right there. Wouldn't that be foolish to the church? Why he persecutes the church? He's a carnal man. But God knowed what was on the inside of the man. See what I mean? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Book of Acts, chapter 9. Verse 1 said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus in the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he must bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I like what the scripture says. While he was in the way, he was on his way to go and to arrest those that were believing on Jesus. And that's the very time when Jesus chose to appear to him and to tell him otherwise. You know, we would, especially with him right on his way down there, if it had been up to one of us, if we'd have been in the place of choosing, we sure wouldn't have said, well, I don't know, he needs some straightening out before we could ever use him. But God don't wait until you don't need no straightening out to choose you. He chooses you and then straightens you out. Verse 10 says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. Now see, Ananias got a vision. Now, the Lord appeared unto Saul in the way, and now here's another that's getting a vision, and in the vision, it's telling him about Saul, telling him to go down there, telling him to lay hands on him, telling him, you know, that he's going to receive the Holy Ghost, telling him that he's going to heal him, and telling him this is who it's going to be. And it's by vision. And you remember, even by the vision, Ananias kind of questioned it. But the Lord said, this is the one I want. This is my choice. So Ananias went by vision, a directive from God. See, that's people, when they try to reason something out, they never take into account whether it was by a directive of God or not a directive of God. The disciples did what they did with no directive from the Lord. But here, Ananias gets a directive. In verse 26, it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So they must have thought it was just some kind of a trick to get in amongst them so he could get to them. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. So here's Barnabas declaring, look, there's been a vision. There's been a vision. And he said, and that he's spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, the apostles had a kind of a funny thing. One was when they went to choose somebody, they said, we got to choose one from among us. In other words, somebody who's been in the meetings. Somebody who attended the meetings has been there. I remember years ago, a church was going to choose a pastor, and one of their criteria was that pastor had to have been somebody who had been at Brother Branham's meetings. There's some that I know and know of that was in Brother Branham's meetings that I dare say I'd never want for a pastor. I don't care whether they was in his meetings or not. Just because they're in his meetings don't make them anything. But they had a real narrow pool of two men. We choose between these two. Well, you could say, well, they were trying to do the best they could do with the best of what they knew. But that won't get it. That won't work. You need to get a directive from the Lord. My question is, while they're up there tarrying, why didn't they go to prayer and ask the Lord for a sign of who it should be? But I guess nobody thought about that. Many times I think we get in that boat where we're faced with something, a decision, something he's made, and we'll call up so-and-so, or we'll talk to this one or that one, or we'll kind of reason it out with ourselves, and we never go to prayer about it. When that's the first thing we ought to do, is go to prayer and get directive from the Lord. You say, well, how I know when he gives me? Believe me, you'll know. All you got to do is pray, put it in his hands, and he'll let you know. The door to it will open, whatever the decision you're supposed to be making. The Lord will lead you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you, so he'll definitely lead you. But the apostles kind of had a thing with this, and we find over in Acts chapter 11, they had a problem with Peter because Peter had went down and preached to these Gentiles. And they had a problem with Peter because they said he sat down and ate with these men that were uncircumcised. And they had a problem, and they contended with Peter about it. But Peter did it by vision. Peter had a directive from the Lord. Now, God's vision, if we can say it this way, what his program was that it be preached repentance and remission of sins in all nations. Acts 11 said what they wanted to do was just preach the word to none other but unto the Jews only. Well, they needed to get with God's program. And you'd think they'd have had enough confidence in Peter, especially him being the spokesman that comes out after the day of Pentecost and begins to speak to the people, telling them what this is the fulfillment of. And as Peter talks about repenting and being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost, you think that those Jews would have had enough confidence in Peter, they would say, look, if Peter went down there, it must have been because God told him to. No? You see how it gets? Because it didn't make sense to them. Because it didn't follow what they thought was the law. Well, Christ had already fulfilled the law. Now, he had said it was going to be preached in every nation. How could they be there in the midst and miss that portion? They heard it, but it must have just went on by them. And they were just going to preach the word to the Jews only. But see, God had shown Peter to go down there. And when Peter saw that they received the Holy Ghost the same as that he had, he said, how can we deny them? This is in Water from the Rock. Brother Bram says, anytime, any place, any part of the Bible where God's message is going, there's signs and wonders following it always. Never still a ritualistic thing that died when they got without a vision. Notice, then God opened the Red Sea, Moses led Israel across the Red Sea, and the ritualistic ones that rejected the light, refused to walk in the light, God being long-suffering, gave them plenty of time to believe it. He gave them signs and wonders and so forth, and they shut up their faces from it. I don't believe it. I don't believe. I believe it's witchcraft. Get it? And they refused to receive it. They being uncircumcised in heart and ears, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word, receiving the word brings new light. So he says, here they had been in the light. But then they got this ritualistic thing. Well, this is the way it has to be said. And that's the way it was when Jesus came on the scene. And that was the same thing that was trying to happen among the disciples. To stick to a ritualistic thing instead of following the light of God as it began to open to all nations. I think last Thursday I told you about a quote where Brother Ram said, when the last one is brought in, then the word will not be effective anymore. It'd be like casting pearls before the swine. Now, like I've said, when the last one comes in, we don't know what the last one isn't in now already and is being prepared to leave out of here. I believe they got to be ready too. And so the ministering that would still go on until as long as the bride is here, the word is going to be effective on the bride. But once the last elect ones come in, then that's it. It won't be effective to bring anybody else in. In the Messiah preached in 61, he said it would take place before the coming of the Lord as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be the coming of the Lord. You see, friends, it's going to reflect the same kind of a light that morning star reflected. And he's going to do what? Call the children back to the faith of the fathers, the Pentecostal fathers. That evening star will reflect the same light the morning star did. Now, they set up, the Bible tells us they went and they set up elders, it says in the book of Titus, they set up elders in every city. So in every city, they were establishing churches and they were making sure there was a pastor there to guide the church that was set up. Brother Bram says this, that in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through God's given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people, say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here and they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. Now, who is it that's adding to and taking away? In this day, you've got those that don't believe in pastors, and they say it's the pastors that's adding to and taking away. And the only way to keep it pure is for them to listen to it on the tapes. But I just showed you that even the disciples that were in the services of Jesus, there was things that was said that went right on by them, and they should have been, it was clearly spoke, go preach in all nations. And yet that passed right on by them. So you don't tell me people can't hear tapes and things that's on there just passed right on by them. Prophet, I believe what he says here. He says the light comes through a God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger spreads the light through the ministry of others. Oh, I'm sorry, though. This is in the church age book. I guess that's the problem. In the Ephesian church age, 1960, the service he actually preached, not out of the book of the church age. He says, remember, repent, or I'll remove the light of the star out of his place. What's his place? In the church. But if you don't repent and go back to where you was at the first place, I'll take your pastor right away from you and move him out of his place, and I'll put him somewhere else where I'll reflect my light that'll shine. And he wasn't talking about himself. I don't care how many people claim to have Brother Branham as their pastor. He wasn't saying it in that way. Because if he was talking about themselves, and they could relate this to being, well, that pastor, my pastor's a prophet. Well, you must not accept him, and God took him. You must not have repented. He said, it's time for the churches to repent. It's time for Pentecost to get a lot of the little polished scholars out of the pulpits and get the old-fashioned preacher in there to tell you the truth. Not pat around and use the church for a meal ticket, big wages, something like that, and psychology and a few horse races. I don't know what to say. And soup, suppers, and everything else. It's time to get back to the gospel. I don't care how little you are, where there are two or three are gathered, I'll be in their midst. Amen. And believest thou this, Brother M says, now, if you'd sinned to your pastor and he didn't come pray for you when you were sick, well, you'd say, that old hypocrite, I'll go join Jones's church or somebody. He said, that's the reason your pastor can't do nothing for you. You've got to have faith in him and confidence in him as a man of God, and know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. That's right. Now, your pastor didn't tell me to say that. But I know this, you've got to have confidence in the man you're dealing with, or it won't do you any good to do any dealing. That's true. You got to believe your pastor. He's a God-saved man. He's a good God-saved man preaching the gospel. Stand behind him with everything you got. If he isn't, go somewhere where they do it. That's right. Now, that clears it up for both sides. Now remember this, if he preaches the gospel, stay with him and help him, because he's a man sent from God, ordained of God to feed your soul. Yes. In Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, stay with your pastor, he's a shepherd, and you give him respects, he'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. I don't know, They're the ones that's taken away from the word.
Yes.
When they don't believe these very things, what Brother Branham preached here. How could they listen to the tape of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed and sit at home and not go to church? Where not only is Brother Branham said, stay with your passage, but ordained of God to see you through, but he says if you got the Holy Ghost, you can't wait for them doors to open. How do they listen to that message and believe that? I don't know. Matthew 6 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, that means diseased or blind, thy whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So there are people, you say, why can't they believe it? They're blind. They maybe perhaps are blind to it. And not, they're not going to see it if they're blind to it. Here's another quote, hear ye his voice. Brother Ram says, the congregation will never live any higher than its pastor. Brother Branham says, I've only chosen a few places to give you, but he says a lot about pastors all through the message. Getting in the spirit, Brother Rem said, the thing to do, brother, is accept God's word and say it's the truth and I believe it. I've got an old chunks in here. I'm throwing right out now my unbelief. I'm settling it with God. I'm going to believe. What do you have to do? Get in the spirit. And when you get in the spirit, then you see the vision. But as long as you say, well, bless God, I'm Methodist. I don't have to put up with such. I'm Baptist. I'm Assemblies. I'm Oneness. All right, go ahead. You'll never see the vision. But you throw that thing aside and get into the vision and see Jesus coming and the church perishing here. Get into the vision and dig right down, brother. I'm telling you, something will happen to you then. You'll get in the spirit of revival. Do you believe it? My Redeemer liveth, he says, and Abraham saw it, and he buried Sarah near Job, purchased the field, bought it with his money so it would be assured, but put witnesses before it, and he was assured he bought this field for a burying place. And then Abraham himself, when he died, he was buried with them also in the same field. Abraham begot Isaac, and then Isaac died. He buried Abraham under the same vision, the same thought, the same deep calling to the deep. The same, I know my Redeemer liveth, the same thing, the same evidence. We're under the same vision that we were under when the prophet was here. It's a vision of a bride getting ready to leave here. It is a vision of the rapture and Christ coming to catch his church away. And if we'll stay in that vision, it will affect how we live. It'll affect the way we are in church. It'll affect the way we approach coming to our services here. If we realize we're coming here because God's getting us ready to leave, that it isn't just a social gathering or just another Sunday or another Thursday. But that God, look friends, the same God that's here on Sunday is the same God that's here on Thursday. And he's getting us ready to go. He's preparing us. I want to be ready. I want to leave here. And I know you do too. The Bible says ye are the light of the world. And said, so let your light shine among men. Brother Brown says, and presuming, said, bless this church that we're here tonight and its lovely little pastor and its whole being, Lord. And it stands here as an example. It's a light to this city that the people might see the way of truth. I pray you'll make its members so salty that everyone in the neighborhood and throughout the city will thirst to be like them. Now I know you plant these churches here for a purpose. They stand as a witness against evil, and there is a witness in them that God is just and true. Friends, this church, there'll be nobody around this area that'll have an excuse to say there was no light in our area. Because it's here. Whether you accept it or not, it's here. And to me, I've seen where the devil tried his best to shut this place down. The devil gave it his best shot and was real close to shutting it down, but God showed he wanted it here. It don't matter how many we are, we're strong in the spirit. I don't have no worry about someone in here being led astray by some false doctrine. Because the Holy Spirit identifies those things and blasts that thing out from this pulpit. I believe we're a strong church. That was what God told me when he told me about the church where he was sending me. He said that he was going to make them a strong church, and I believe we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You think about how many young people we've got that are doing things in and around the church that when I first came here, they were all little bitty kids. See, that's God moving. That's God showing you he's in this church. This church ain't going to die with us older ones. If time tarries, this church is going to go on. God has invested himself in you. That ought to make you happy. Amen. I want to read one more thing here before we close. Brother Branham says in a message of influence, in 63, he said, one or two good members in a church that's really on fire for God, it'll do more for that church more than 40 revivals you could have. He said, all you need is two in there. It's really on fire for God, and it'll do more for that church than 40 revivals would do. Amen. I believe we need some rekindling. I believe we need some rekindling. I believe, you know, when you go through so many things like this church has been through, it's almost like the fire is almost stamped out. But it ain't. And I believe God's blowing more life into it. Amen. God isn't done. He's still working on this place. He's still working on the young people. He said, a good cleansed member set an example with the face shining from the glory of God with sweetness and humility. Stand there in the power of God. Watch when somebody gets sick, they'll call that person to come pray. Or you might make fun of them. You might all this nonsense say, but let death strike you one time. You'll find out when them struggles begins to come who's the real sincere person in the church? But he said, one or two members that's really on fire for God will do more for the church than 40 revivals. Well, I'm going to have to stop there, otherwise I'll get into some things I'm going to cover on Sunday. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your house tonight, to hear from your word, dear God, and encouraging words, Lord, that lifts us up, dear God, and shows us, Lord, who we are and how much you love us, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless the people, Lord. They've got work the next day or two, Lord, and that you'll bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.